I'm ready. Who wants to count it down? I'll count it down. I'm better at it.
Yeah, I'll close my eyes.
See what happens.
How about we both close our eyes?
Yeah, let's do that. I don't know if you're closing your eyes. Close your eyes.
That's true. All right, yeah. 1, 2, 3.
How was that? You always get silent and
worst
disgusting.
One we've ever done. It's just because I'm amazed at how good we are at so many things, but we can't clap on beat.
This look of disgust and sort of like disappointment in your face. It's a mix between the two.
It is. So I started a thing that I decided I'm gonna do.
What are you gonna do?
And it's well, basically because I use the post office a lot here.
Yeah.
You know, in America we have the post office.
Yeah, I know what the post office
and
is.
And yeah.
We have one too.
So
and you know how that works.
Yeah, it's what. Right, yeah, you know how good I know how good yours works.
Yep.
Anyhow, they do a really good job for me because I send out these Crunk Friday shirts, and sometimes I will send a shirt to somebody across the country at say noon on a Wednesday, and they'll send me a picture of it that on a Thursday afternoon.
So they deliver pretty.
Like they'll
good.
Get it in a day. Yeah, I mean they deliver stuff quicker than I could just get in my car and drive it to people. So they always do a good job for me, and I've only ever had like. One shirt come back with a mistake, and it was like I think it could have happened to anybody. But so what I'm doing is I've decided to I'm just gonna go to the post office every week and send somebody something. So like if I find an agency or a designer or a human that I just think is cool, and they have their address or a way I can look them up, I'm just gonna mail them some shit.
So you're gonna send me some cool shit?
No, not you.
No.
Because you have my pants, and you just look in the pockets of my cargo shorts and probably find stuff
your
forever.
Your pants are not here. They're in Texas.
No. Well, maybe I can get them mailed to me.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start just mailing stuff. And I know that mailing stuff isn't like causing them more work is not a solution. So the other thing that I'm doing is they have all this cool shit you can buy at the post office.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to start buying that stuff because like... If you have, like, if you buy a book of stamps and then don't use them, that's like giving them money, like a loan. And so I'm gonna start doing that. So I got these like cool hip hop stamps, but also a designer in Charleston, JPEG Fletcher, he made a super awesome magic like magicians.
Yeah, I saw that
series
that
of stamps,
was fantastic.
And they have this awesome, yeah. Well, they have this awesome like box with like playing cards and all kinds of stuff.
Do you know who else made a stamp for the U.S. Postal Service?
Who?
Our friend, Dan Greta, who was on the podcast.
Dan Greta made a stamp?
Yeah.
Well, see, I'm going to go out and buy that stamp then, and I'm just going to throw it in the drawer here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do that. That's how I'm going to support the post office and support some other people in a meaningful way.
You know who I really don't want to support? Related. Very related.
Podcast is only an hour long. I was going to say the podcast is only an hour long and we have a guest, but who don't you want to support? Because I could tell you a lot of people I don't want to support.
I do not want to support
who?
DHL or fucking what are the other ones? UPS, probably the one I hate the most.
Uh-huh.
And FedEx. Like when I order something from the United States and I get like tracking number, check your shit here. And I'm like, oh no, it's a DHL number. I'm never getting this. And if I do by some miracle get it, because what happens is like if I get regular USPS mail and it comes to Sweden with regular Swedish mail, it might take a while, but I get a notification.
Mm-hmm.
I get something from the US Customs. Swedish Customs every time. Here's a photo of your shit. It's going to cost you this much to pay for customs. And it's usually like 10 to 20 bucks. And I'm like, fine.
Right.
I pay it with the Swedish version of Venmo called Swish. Shwoomp. Done. And I get the package a couple of days later. I can go pick it up myself at the store.
Right.
If I get you UPS, DHL, or FedEx, they will come to the house, and they think that, like, so I live in an apartment, right? In an apartment building.
Yeah.
They will feel the door outside, which is always locked because it's a apartment building. And they will then try to call me on a number they don't have. And then they will take the package back to their fucking package central. And they will send me a letter saying, you have to come pick this up in 2 days. So we're sending it back to the United States. That's usually what happens. So they're like actively trying to not deliver your package. And the miracle happens sometimes that they actually get into the building and find your apartment and give you the package. Then they send you like a $60 like whiplash bill for like, this is what you're going to pay us now for customs. I'm like, no. And I actually fought them twice and won.
You fought them twice and won? You fought the...
The UPS. Yeah, I sent it to like... UPS, you can send it to like... If you get an invoice for like, I don't know, anything that's not correct, you can like fight it. Just send it to like consumer services or something. And I did it twice. And they couldn't provide me with like a receipt that my customs actually costs fucking $70 or whatever, which it doesn't. So they couldn't collect that extra custom money. So
incredible.
Yes, fuck them. I hate them. All of them. That's the only... That's where I support like...
That's the only ones you don't support?
I support the regular post office, even though it's also dog shit. But it's they actually try to make me get my package.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long story, but I fucking hate them.
That was a great story. It was a really good story.
Thank you.
Luckily, our guest is good enough today that people will suffer us.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they're going to have to suffer some more because I'm going to talk about sports the whole time.
So I'm going to... Yeah, I have a little list of things I'm going to talk about with my extended knowledge of baseball, because this is a big baseball episode.
Baseball episode, yes.
And I'll save all my everything I know about baseball. I'm gonna save it for our guest. I don't want to blow my load during the
right
intro.
Yeah, too early. Well, let me tell you why baseball is extra important to me this year is because there's nothing else going on.
Yeah,
you know, and so. I was just really bummed out when they canceled the season. When they canceled the Olympics, too. But, I mean, we're all used to not having Olympics all the time.
The Olympics? But, let me just say something about the Olympics. The Olympics is becoming, like, extinct. It's like it was all already suffering before the pandemic. Because people don't... Like, cities or countries don't want to do them anymore.
It's true. It's true. But I think that you'll just... They'll figure that out. They'll just start to repeat cities and they'll make it work. We figure out things.
Maybe.
But I agree. It's kind of like the World's Fair.
Yeah, but I mean, that's way more
interesting. Build cool shit for the World's Fair.
The thing is, like, the athletes aren't getting paid either. It's just a big fucking scam. It's like spec work for athletes. Unless your name is like Mike Phelps.
It's not spec work. It's to see who's the best.
Yeah, I guess. You can call spec work that too.
Somewhere they have the best beard growing competition and people are just sitting around growing beards doing nothing. And they're like, oh, I didn't even get paid for this beard.
That's not the same.
It's exactly the same.
No, not really.
One person can grow a better beard, and one person can do a double back flip into a perfect dismount.
Oh, yeah?
And work at Home Depot while they do it.
Anyway, so keep going. I have a lot of input on that with sports and shit, because they're also... I'm going to let you finish.
I appreciate that.
I'm just going to say that, the colleges now are...
Uh-huh.
Getting pretty desperate to open up like college football.
Yeah.
And it's becoming very evident that that's where they make their money.
Oh, well, I think that what people don't realize too, or you probably don't realize, is that college football stadiums are bigger than pro football stadiums.
I know that. I know about that because I listen to a lot of like political commentary people, and they're always like, the ones I listen to at least are very sport enthusiasts. That was a hard word. And they talk a lot about like college football. And so just because of that, I know a lot about it.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you play sports in school?
Yeah, I'm really happy I did. I sucked at it, but I never missed a practice, never missed a game. I was playing real football, not hand egg.
Hand egg.
Hand egg is American football.
So you played soccer.
Mm-hmm.
What position?
Midfield. That's where they put all.
Really? Any good?
No, not at all. That's where they put the shitty people. So I have like, yeah, because you can't really like. It's too important to be a forward or like a defender. But if you're in the middle, you can fuck up a little bit. Thing is, we had one of the best teams. It's like a legendary team from where I grew up. We played in a division with the people who are like the kids who were 1 year older, because we were beating everyone with like 20-0, which is kind of a lot. And so that we had like our coaches weren't really, what do you call it, like
very good.
Yeah, they were good. They were a bit too good. Oh. They were not very. I'm missing the word because language barriers, I guess.
Make one up.
They were really not sympathetic to. There were no participation medals for sure.
Oh.
And I'm glad there weren't.
They wanted to win.
I'm glad there weren't because that just raises pussies. But they were like. It's called topping the team. I don't know if that's what it's the English word for it, but like they were benching like the shitty players really early when we were like just kids. But all my friends were playing in a team, so I kept playing, and I'm really glad I did because it built like my base physique, if that makes sense.
Oh dear.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Like if I wouldn't have played football, I would probably just have played video games like everyone else who wasn't playing football, and they look like bowling pin shaped Dorito bags. I'm glad I got that base physique. And
yeah, and I'm glad I have it. You don't look like a Dorito bag.
Well, now I sort of do, but now that I'm exercising, I'm getting back into shape. But if I never had a shape from the beginning, I wouldn't have any shape to get back into. You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. Well,
did you? You played football, right?
I played everything. I played football, basketball, baseball, track. I did everything. I wasn't any good at any of it. But I like football the best.
Yeah, weren't you any good at football?
No, we just, I mean, I would not, you know, I was probably in the middle range of goodness.
I would have killed to be in the middle range. That would have been awesome. I'm jealous.
Yeah, I played defense.
Yeah.
So, it was fun. Well.
I stole your whole story that you wanted to tell.
It's all good. I didn't even have that good a story. Let's get to this guest we've got.
Yeah.
How about that?
This is an interesting one.
Yeah, you just want to bust right in?
Yeah, let's do it. Hey, oh, wait, I got to get some coffee.
Wait, we got one more what?
One more coffee cup. And it's going to be 30 seconds, literally. And you want to introduce our guest? Who is it?
I'm just going to stop the thing, and we're just going to start talking.
Hell yeah.
Jon Contino. We're officially old. Man, I don't know if we're grumpy old men. Sleep schedules.
I mean, I'm mostly grumpy, but like
mostly
in
grumpy?
A happy way.
Not your standard New York grumpy. Just
I'm excited to be grumpy, if that makes sense.
You look forward to grumpiness.
I've always wanted to be grumpy and like have a reason for it, and like you know, when you hit a certain age, you're allowed to.
Yeah.
Right. They quit asking you why.
Yeah, and I'm just like, fuck off. You know, like
I was a grumpy old man in my 20s, like early 20s. It just stuck the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I was grumpy by the time I hit like 10. I was
good to go. Okay, you win.
Just out the gate.
It's New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grumpy old soul.
So welcome, by the way, John, to the
thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming
the
on.
Cheese podcast. And let's just address the elephant in the room right away. Every time I'm around when your name comes up, everyone just remembers, like, oh, I remember you and him had a thing. And I'm like, how the fuck can you remember? It's like, I think it's 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's so funny, too, because. When I totally forgot until we were all jumping onto the Skype thing and it just said like grow case on there. I was like, oh, that's the guy that's breaking my balls about that thing that I did.
Yes. And the thing is, like, I would probably have forgotten it too if it wasn't like every time your name comes up, someone reminds me. And
that's
you
really
and me,
funny.
You and me talked on, we squashed it like the same day. Cause
it was really quick.
Yeah, it was really quick. And it was all my fault, obviously. I was talking about grumpy. I was like having a bad day. I made like a shitty comment on one of your things. I didn't really know who you were.
Well, it was like I was doing a thing for a friend who was putting together some kind of like Native American something or other or whatever. And he was like, I really want to do, you know, like at the time too, like a lot of people were just doing like Native American imagery because it's cool.
Yeah.
And it was just like that thing where it's just like the ultimate like appropriation type shit.
Yeah.
And he was, but he was actually like working with like a group of people who were representing like this like nature preserve and blah, 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 whatever it was. I even forget what the job is. And he was like, yeah, we want to do this and we want to do this and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, all right, cool. Like I felt weird about doing it, but it was, that's what they asked for. So I did it and it came out cool. So I was like, yeah, there you go. And then you were like, yo, that's not cool. And I was like, I can't think remember it's cool.
What I said, because I'm the least politically correct person on the planet. Like Jason will attest to that. Like he's always worried when I walk into a room where there's people I don't know. He's like, oh, wonder how this is gonna turn out. But anyway, so it was weird that I did, but I always been, that's one of those few PC things that I actually sort of agree with. And I guess I had a shitty day and just saw it and just made some dumb comment. And I usually don't, like, if I don't agree with something or don't like something, I'm usually the quiet one. I'm like, I'll hate it in silence. And
well, the funny thing is, too, is that, like, I never do stuff like that either, too. Like, it's, I always just, like, I stay away from stuff like that because I'm like, I don't want to get in the middle of all that stuff unless someone, like, specifically. Well, here's a good example, right? So I did this stuff with the Criterion Collection and Spike Lee earlier this year to redo the cover for Bamboozled that they just redid, which is, like, if you don't know what Bamboozled is and you just looked at it, you're like, yo, that's the most racist shit I've ever seen in my life. But it's like, it's Spike Lee and it's Criterion and it's just like they asked me to do it. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like we did some stuff with Spike Lee like years and years ago. That is like one of my favorite things. And then to be able to do it again, I was psyched. But like, I also don't want to share it because if people, you know, people jump to conclusions without knowing the backstory. And I'm just like, that's, like, it came out cool. It was an awesome project. I was so happy to, like, restore it and everything. But I was just like, I don't need to hear shit from people who just, don't want to know what it is, you know?
The weird thing is, like, so I'm glad it turned out that I was, because I got a lot of shit for it. And, well, I wasn't the wrong. The thing is, like, if it would have happened today.
Wait. Did you just say you were wrong?
Yeah, I was wrong.
All right, hold on. I just got to put a timestamp on this real quick. Hold on. I'm going to save that one in the archives. Yeah, all right, go ahead. That's also going in the Criterion Collection.
Yeah. So I was actually glad that I was getting shit for it because I was wrong and it was justified. But the thing is, if it would happen today, you probably would have been more attacked and I would probably
have been killed. Absolutely. Would have been killed.
Yeah.
But I also wouldn't have done it though.
No, exactly.
But I mean, no. But here's at the same time though. It's like that was the group that was asking me to do it too. So you know, like again, it was like it's like the Bamboozled thing. It's like it's not like some like friggin' like Proud Boy guy asked me to draw like blackface or something. It was like Spike Lee's like you know some of his like best work ever. I was like, how could I say no to that? That would be amazing, you know.
Yeah.
But it's very easy to fall down that hole if you're not careful, you know, because some people just don't think about that shit. And it's just like, how can you not? Like, it's just, you're a person, other people are people. Like, I don't know, man, maybe it's like the empathy in me, you know, I'm just.
And like, before we get off this thing, twice we were at the same event and Jason was like, he probably just avoided you. And I was like, well, maybe that's the case. But you and me were at the same
event. Oh, no, I don't avoid shit.
No, I'm kidding. Uh-uh. That was Jason's. But yeah, so you and me were at the same event twice. And I was going to say hi to you. And both times you had dipped out before I got a chance. And it was Creative South and Crop.
Yeah, let me explain that this goes back to us talking about our sleep habits. Amir has never actually went to a design conference. He's only went to the town that was hosting a design conference and hung out at the hotel and the bar. He's never went to a design conference. So,
I mean, I've never gone to a design conference that I wasn't speaking at, if that helps.
While you were working, he was sleeping. So unless you went to the room with the blackout curtains pulled, John, you would have never met him.
Exactly. But yeah, you were at, I think it was, I don't remember which year it was, but I remember Amy and Jen was telling me, like, have you met John yet? I'm like, no. I'm going to see if I can find him. And everyone's like, no, he left already. It's like, all right.
That's what I do. Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah, but it's mostly because, like, I try to pack so much into so little amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm wearing the shirt, actually, from the event. I did MLC Connect, which is, like, sports design conference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And last year, my wife had a baby. She was 2 months into being mom number two. So we had, you know, we have an older one and a little one now. She's a year and a half. And I did this sports conference. So I left, I think it was a Thursday morning. I got to Atlanta Thursday afternoon. They were setting up. I did the whole event Thursday night. I woke up Friday morning, got up, hit the first part of the event, got at the airport, flew up, back up to Syracuse, which is hours away from, you know, like, you know, southern New York where I'm in. And then went to my wife's cousin's wedding and then drove back and then hit a deadline the next day. So, like, that's my schedule normally. So I'm usually, like, get in, do my shit, say hi for a couple minutes, and get out.
Is that why you're so skinny? You seem to be in great shape because you're just never sitting still.
I run across the world.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, also, that's kind of the old school way of doing things. Like, I've spoken at events where it was like you sit in the green room and the other speakers are sitting there waiting their turn. And they got their bag in their hand, and it's like, I'm going to go talk at 3, my flight's at 4.
Right.
And that's really how, you know, we've got conditioned to where it's like, oh, the speakers drop off the stage and come hang out and have dinner with you. But that's really, you don't go to a concert and see Foo Fighters, and then Foo Fighters come and fuck around at the bar with you afterwards.
Oh, right. You got to keep going. It's just, yeah, that's my thing. It's just like, why would I sit around when I can get back? And it's so funny, too, like, a couple years ago, when I started working with the Buccaneers, I got a ticket upgrade for first class, and I was like, this shit has got to be a scam. So I didn't take it, and it was like $100 to upgrade from, like, you know, the garbage back row to first class.
With the cattle.
And I was like, and I was like, there's no way. So on the way back to New York, it gave me the upgrade again. So I was like, fuck it, let me try. So I did it because it just says, like, it said something about, like, not guaranteed, and I was like, I don't want to upgrade and then lose my seat and then be stuck, you know. So I upgraded, and it worked, and I was in first class. I was like, holy shit, this is great. So then, like, I realized, like, there's so much room, and you get, like, this big platform that you could just, like, do whatever. You could have, like, a Thanksgiving dinner, and you can watch a movie, and, you know, like, you could, like, play, like, Nintendo all at the same time. So now, whenever I do these trips, I always book a first class because it's enough space for me to put a laptop or an iPad or whatever and work and draw at the same time. So, like, I think about, it's like, you know, $200 extra, and I'm like, I could make 3 times that amount while I'm sitting there.
Yeah, makes
just
sense.
Doing it.
But $200? That sounds pretty reasonable. I've always get like the $1,000 upgrade. Like, I'm like, no.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, too. Especially, like, in recent years, since I've had my kids, I try to limit the type of travel that I do.
Yeah.
So that it's easy. So, like, years ago, before my first daughter was born, like, I just go wherever. But now I even kind of limit, like, east to west coast as much as I can because it's so much travel time, you know? So, like, if I'm going, like, from, like, New York to Tampa or something like that, it's cheap because it's only, like, a 2.5 hour flight.
Oh, makes sense, yeah.
You're talking about sports. I want to talk about baseball.
Yeah, me too.
Because you're a baseball guy.
Yeah.
I'm a baseball guy. So, but you're a Yankees fan. I'm a Cubs fan.
But you got a Braves hat on.
Well, I work for the Braves. I don't work for the Braves. I work for the Braves like you work for the Buccaneers.
Gotcha.
They put me in their commercial too, in their campaign.
Nice.
As an artist, that was kind of cool. But
that's awesome.
But I'm a Cubs fan because I grew up in Illinois. But what's your past with baseball? Like, what is your what started your? How'd you get into baseball?
My dad was a huge baseball fan, and it just, you know, like, I grew up a little kid just watching games and stuff. And I, you know, like, growing up in the 80s, the Yankees sucked. Yeah. So it was like, as a little kid, I never looked at the Mets were the shit in the
80s. Right.
You know? So, like, being a Yankees fan in the 80s was just like, man, your team sucks. And it's so funny too, 'cause, like, everyone's always just like, you know, like, the Yankees buy their championships and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, man, when I was a kid, like, I just remember, like, losing doubleheaders every weekend and watching, like, the Twins and the Indians kick the shit out of, you know, our team or whatever. I was like, this isn't fun.
Yeah.
But, like, I grew up playing Little League, you know, like, played baseball my whole life. And it's always been an obsession. And then it was like one of those things where it was just like, there was an opportunity. I don't even remember what my first sports design job was, but there was an opportunity to kind of like stick my nose in there. And then once I finally got it, I was just like, I got to do more of this. And I just started really like pushing my way into the world of sports design until people, you know, knew who I was in that world. Cause you know how it is, man. It's like very separate from the regular design world.
It is.
It's like mm-hmm. sports design and then like everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So once I did that, it was great. So now I work with, I've worked with the Red Sox, the White Sox, the Buccaneers, the Dolphins. And then there was always talks to do shit with like the Dodgers and shit like that. And, never the Yankees though. And people are always just like, wouldn't you want to work with the Yankees? And I think about it. And I was pitching to do the design for the New York City Football Club, the soccer team that plays in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
And I did the pitch and everything, and everyone was like, we love this, it's great, blah, 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 awesome. They took the job and gave it to a designer who was like friends of someone on the board or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of like really soured me. And every time I go to Yankee Stadium, I see that logo, which I don't like. Like all along the, you know, the walls and stuff. And I'm just like, man, fuck that. And I just like think about like if I was doing a Yankees job and someone was like shitty to me, I would just hold a grudge. And then I couldn't go to Yankee games and it would like ruin the experience for me. So I'm just like, everybody bought the Yankees I'll do work for. Right. You know?
That's kind of behind the story behind my Braves hat is that they are so cool to work with.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're just not just sports wise, but as far as any client goes. Like, they're just so cool to work with it. You know, if they call, it's like, yeah, I'll drop whatever I'm doing to help you however I can.
Yeah.
And that goes with any good client, but they're just a really good client. But I'm the same way. I mean, I grew up watching the Cubs suck, and I mean, you know, it's still debatable whether they're good or not. But, but you know, it's like you're just a diehard, like, through thick and thin.
Yeah.
And it's like, because you know one day it's going to be your day. And so,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, In 1996, when the Yankees won the World Series finally,
yeah,
it was like I was in Staten Island at my cousin's house, and it was unlike anything I've ever experienced, you know? So, like, I was a teenager, and I had just been watching the Yankees my whole life, playing baseball, loving it, and, like, not, like, I loving Don Mattingly and shit like that, but Don Mattingly was famous for, like, he became a Yankee the year after they won a championship, and he retired the year before they won a championship.
Yeah.
You know, so like my favorite Yankee was essentially a loser, you know, like if you look at it from those terms. And then when they finally won, I went out, everyone was like banging pots and pans, jumping on cars and all this shit. And as a teenager, like after, like I was like, this is the greatest thing in the world. And then they kept winning after that. And I was like, oh my God, like it really started reeling me in because it was like suffering my whole childhood and then finally like release. And it was just like so awesome and so fun. And then, you know, every year. And then it all kind of culminated in 2009. We got tickets to the game when they beat the Angels to clinch the pennant to go to the World Series. And I had a front row seat in the upper deck with two of my friends. And we were just like losing our minds. Like I was hanging over the front of the upper deck, just punching the side of the wall like as hard as I could, just like screaming the whole. It was the greatest. It was like the greatest night of my life. It was amazing.
they're fantastic. It is. It really is. I grew up real close to St. Louis, and everybody's either a Cubs fan
or a Cardinals fan.
Yeah. No White Sox fans where I'm from. Zero. Maybe in like the county jail, there's some White Sox fans. But I don't think there's any others. But so I grew up like having to go to Busch Stadium like all the time. Like I never went to a game at Wrigley until a couple years ago.
Wow.
And so, which it was incredible. I got to watch, they were playing the Phillies and they started off good. The opening pitcher, Yu Darvish was pitching and he went relief, blew the lead, and then, ended up with Jason Hayward hitting a walk-off grand slam.
That's amazing.
And it was just like you said, like just the place erupted.
Yeah,
you know, and you're in that old stadium. Like I like new shit, but I like old shit better.
Yeah.
And that old stadium where it's like this seat has been sat in 10,000 times, you know, and there's no corners on it. There's no sharp edges on anything. They've just been wore down by people having a good time, and that's just a cool feeling to just be immersed in.
You know, it's really funny thinking about like, you know, especially designers like us and any type of like kind of people who are used to maybe freelancing, working from home, working from a small studio, whatever, where you're kind of like just like cut off from the rest of the world, and how amazing it is to experience that kind of like, you know, 50,000 people just losing their minds all at the same time. And then now kind of missing that. And yeah. Even as kind of like, if you're kind of like a shut in where you're just like, fuck it, I'm not leaving my house anyway. And then not being able to is such a weird feeling. Cause now I'm like watching these games and there's nobody in the stands. And I just, you know, like, I want to be there. I want to be crowded like next to like a bunch of disgusting people who normally I would just be so grossed out by. But like, yeah. like I just want to be there. And it's so weird to not be able to have that opportunity. And I'm just like, okay, this sucks a little bit. I'm starting to lose my mind a little now.
Yeah, you know? Watching it without a crowd on TV is also like, it's fucking weird. It doesn't feel like,
so weird.
It doesn't feel so like weird. Sports. It doesn't feel like when they score and they start celebrating and it's dead quiet and you're like, huh?
And you just hear like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't like the cardboard cutouts at first, but I like the cardboard. There was a couple games where they like CGI'd the crowd from MLB The Show. I hated it so much.
I'm watching Yankees Red Sox over the weekend, and it was on ESPN and Fox for both of them. So it was like the national televised games.
Yeah.
And they have the digital fans in the stands.
I hate it.
So the game is in the Bronx. And the Yankees are hitting home runs against the Red Sox, right? So, like, you can imagine what the crowd would be like for that scenario. And you just see these digital fans with Yankee shirts just standing around. Like, and you, they show the ball go over the fence, and they're just standing around, like, doing, like, this motion. And I'm just like, yo, just don't use them. Just don't use them.
At least if you're like, playing a baseball game or a sports game on PlayStation or whatever, at least the crowd is reacting when something happens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
They're not
yeah,
playing I mean, any well, any audience sound when they score either. They should be like in the speakers at least, like some fake.
No, they do. They do that.
All right. Yeah. They didn't do that for the football game.
And the thing is, too, it seems like they've gotten better with it. So like, if there's a guy on first base and they're trying to pick him off, they have to, like they do that. So I'm like, why can't you do that with the digital people? All you have to do is click it from standing to celebrating.
They're using the same technology too. They're using it from MLB The Show. They're using the sounds from the show, and they're using the people from the show, but they just can't get it right.
That's weird. It's crazy.
The one that I wish that we could go back though, because I think if we all knew that they're going to do these cardboard cutouts and that you could buy them, we'd all have, we'd be putting some crazy stuff up there.
Yeah, you know, I heard about them doing it, but the Yankees didn't do it, so it was like I kind of lost interest as soon as I heard that they weren't doing it. So I was just like, whatever.
Yeah, Cubs.
No, I would have done it in a heartbeat for sure.
The Cubs just put big billboards up. They just covered the seats in ads.
Yeah, right.
But they're classy. They're like green. They're the color of the seats. It's just the logo and
yeah,
you know.
Yankees did the same thing. It's like navy blue, and it's like it just looks like they're closing up for the season.
Yeah. Do you think they're gonna finish the season?
God, I hope so. I hope so, man. It's like every game, you're like, is this the last game of baseball I'll ever watch?
Yeah, that's true. How superstitious are you? I mean, baseball fans and players seem to be a superstitious breed. I'm definitely a highly superstitious person.
I'm an incredibly superstitious person. It's so funny, too, because it's like, so I, you know, in New York as an Italian, I grew up Catholic, and I'm probably like, I'm 100% agnostic, if not bordering on full-blown atheist at this point in my life. But I still wear a crucifix all the time because of my superstition.
Look, I do the same fucking thing. Look, I got a medal on, and I'm not even Catholic, and I've been wearing this thing for 25 years.
So when I was a kid, this is so funny, too, because it's just like I'm so like not a religious person, but like I walk around with like Jesus on my neck, you know?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I think it was for like my communion or something. My mom, you know, my parents or whatever, they got me this as kind of like the communion gift or whatever traditional thing it was.
Your black rosary or whatever.
Yeah. And I remember I actually was playing baseball like that week, and I was on the field. I used to play shortstop, and I left practice so here's the thing too. An Italian in New York, a gold chain is like you're entering manhood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like the fact that I got a gold chain, I was like, this is it. I'm a grown up now, you know? So I'm like 8 years old or whatever. So I'm playing baseball, and I leave the field, I go home, whatever, chain's gone. No. So my dad takes me back to the field. I'm losing it because I was like, I was so excited. We're combing through all the dirt and everything, can't find it. So they get me another one like a year later. Same thing happens. I lose it, it's gone, blah, 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 whatever. So then I don't have one for a little while. Then they get me another one for some other reason. And I get it. And then so that one stayed, and that's this. And I must have got it when I was like 11 or 12 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like waiting. This thing is like indestructible. Like my kids have been pulling on it for years. And I'm like, as soon as it breaks, I'm never wearing another chain again. But it hasn't broken. And I'm like, I can't just take it off now because it hasn't even budged for like 20 something years. You know? So yeah, I'm just like, as soon as it breaks, it's gone.
Well, I'm sorry if it breaks right after this podcast. I do the same thing. I put pennies in my shoes. I do all kinds of bullshit that somehow it makes the world turn if I continue to do these things, and it drives my wife crazy.
Well, because it's one of those things, right, where you're just like, okay, well, like if I decided to just finally take it off and then like a bunch of bad shit happens the next week, then what do I do? Then I'm just like, shit, clearly this was the thing holding my life together.
Obviously, it's the glue. Yeah, that was when the Cubs won in 2016, and that famous rain delay. You know, it was like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
and you know, we'd been going through the stress of playoff baseball and watched every single game, not just the Cubs, but every game. Like every game was on, we watched it, and so we're sitting there, and it's all coming to this end. And she told me, she was like, "Look, I know this is a big deal, but I'm going to bed." She's like, my life is going to be ruined tonight no matter what happens. She's like, either they're going to lose and you're going to be freaking out, or they're going to win and you're going to be freaking out. But she's like, either way, I'm going to bed. And I was like, no, I can't. And I think that was what did it.
Yeah. Because
they were, you know, it was tied and it was in extra innings, and she went to bed and then they ended up winning. And she was right. I freaked out. And living in Augusta, Georgia, I ran outside and there's nobody outside.
Nobody cares.
It's just me. Nobody gave two shits.
The best part is like this has happened a couple of times where I would be watching a playoff game and I fell asleep or I had to leave or something. And then when I leave or I'm not watching, the Yankees do well. So then the next game I watch and they lose. So then the game after that, I'm like, I can't watch. So then I don't watch. And then they win. And I'm like, all right, I can't watch these games. I got to like not watch them, which kills me. But at the same time, I'm doing my part.
So the Cubs just lost 3 games in a row while I was in Florida for 3 days. And I got to get out of this fucking state.
Absolutely.
I was like, I got to get me home. Get me home so we can watch these games and they can win again. They're in first place. But no, I look forward to, you know, and like that was one of the things too. I've been working for myself for a year, and one of the big rewards that I had like planned is that the Cubs, as soon as the schedule came out, the Cubs were playing the Yankees in New York this year, and my plan was I was going to fly up there, I was going to go to that Sunday night game, and then I was going to fly to Chicago the next day and watch them play the Brewers at Wrigley. So I was going to go to the Yankee Stadium to Wrigley in 2 days and then back home, and that was like the trip, like I could do it, you know. It was like, as a grown-up, I wasn't gonna like put it on a credit card or anything. Like I could just schedule this trip and fly up and fly over and fly back, and like that all got fucked up. And that's like the whole that was one of the worst parts of 2020.
Yeah,
it was that, knowing that wasn't gonna happen.
Yeah, for sure. And they had that whole like Field of Dreams game I know, it's the whole thing. It is a whole bunch of the list goes on and on.
That's also like my only because since I live in Sweden, I have very few references to baseball. It's limited to Major League, the movie with Charlie Sheen, fucking fantastic, and
awesome.
Field of Dreams. I watched that like so many times as a kid, and I know that George Costanza works for the Yankees, and that's about it. But
I'm sitting here. I'm just like, does Amir even know what the fuck? I do.
The thing is, like, so it's sort of weird to have a baseball special with a Swedish guy on. But when I was growing up, my Major League came out when I was a kid, and I loved that movie so much. And me and my friends loved it. So we started playing in one of my closer like childhood friends' backyard. We ruined their whole lawn because we were playing like baseball, and we thought it was we tried to learn the rules. And there was no internet back then, so we just had to like learn it from like watching, I don't know, Eurosport or whatever, try to figure out the rules. And And then, like, I think years went on and I was sort of into it. And then I really started watching it. And
yeah.
I realized how boring it was and I stopped.
Oh, sorry. My God.
And I was,
it wasn't meant to be.
No, it wasn't meant to be. And I grew up in the north of Sweden, so like hockey was always a part of growing up. Like that was the sport to watch, and it's still the only one I watch. Like, but I do like the aesthetics of baseball, and I still want to go to a baseball game and have a hot dog. It's sort of like a childhood thing that I always like seen in movies, and I don't know. It was a lot from movies, also like. It was always like baseball culture in American movies that were even about baseball. So you knew about like team names and.
Well, let me paint a picture for you.
Do it.
Right. Okay. This is part of why I love baseball, and from a fan perspective. So the first thing about baseball is that it is extremely repetitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So stats are a huge thing with baseball.
Yeah.
And because it's so repetitive, and because there's so much time. There's a lot of downtime where you find anyone who's near you and you just go, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And you just discuss it, right? So if you go to a ball game at a stadium, it's in the summertime, right? Baseball plays from the spring to the fall. So generally the weather in the United States is great. Okay? So you go when the weather is nice. It gives you an opportunity to be outside for like 3 to 4 hours. You go out there, you just eat like goofball summertime foods like hot dogs and pretzels, and you drink beer and you get Cracker Jacks and cotton candy, whatever the hell else you're going to eat. And you sit there out in the sun with a bunch of people just kind of like smiling and laughing. You're talking to strangers next to you. And then like little by little over the course of the 3 hours or so, something happens. And it's like this slow, slow, slow burn until the end when it's just like everything is starting to come together and there's no time limit. It's just when the ninth inning is over. So you got just that those last three outs to make everything change that you've been working towards for the last 3 hours or so. And you're talking, and then all of a sudden everyone starts getting more and more focused and it becomes more and more of a thing. And then by the end of the game, everyone, the energy becomes such a weird, like gelatinous, like singular force that you've just been kind of like cultivating. That it just is like the most epic release at the end, where you're just like you just adrenaline's going, you scream, you're excited, and it's just it's such a cool experience to go from like basically I'm having a picnic and there's a thing happening over here where I'm not paying attention, like no one's paying attention the first few innings, you know, like everyone's bullshitting and eating.
Because a hockey game to me is like the ending that you explained from start to finish.
Right.
That's how I see it. Like collarbones are breaking,
it's
and
anticipation.
There's fights breaking out. Yeah,
it's like
it's
like watching somebody blow up a giant balloon. Like at first it's just like, okay, it's gonna be a while. But then at the end when it's just like getting bigger and bigger and bigger, it's like it's gonna pop at any second. It's gonna pop.
How much bigger could it get?
It just keeps going.
Yeah, I might have to give it a chance. Like I'm pretty like I'm not that impatient, but I guess with sports I guess I am because I don't know. I also think like even for like NHL, if I wanna make a parallel reference here between like I think the seasons, there's too many fucking games, and I know why they do it, because they want to sell tickets and make money, but and like TV coverage and shit like that, but I think if they shortened down the seasons it would be more popular, and I don't know, I'm not sure. I think the NHL too, I love it, but there's like every team is going to play each other four times. It's like do we really have to play that much, you know what I mean?
I think it's one of those things too where it's especially in recent years, and I'm talking like 10 or 20 years, where like our attention spans are getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah, for sure.
It's very hard to have, like, baseball was a great game for the past because there was nothing else.
There was nothing else. Like, there was nothing to distract.
What do you
want to
do for the day? Yeah, it's just like, hey, well, we can like burn, we can burn garbage in a can on the side of the corner, or we can go sit at a ballpark for 4 hours and get drunk, you know?
Yeah, there's no, like, this week's water cooler gathering talk about what was on TV anymore. Like that's over.
Right.
Like, so
right.
But I think maybe the sports have to adapt to that. I always thought that sports season were too long because the games didn't mean so much. Like if it was just one team playing every team once, well, one time on home court and then away, would make it more
football.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. But that's college football for you, you know, where college football, you're week one, could ruin your whole season.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's that to me, I think there's too much pressure.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, we need to find a middle ground.
When it gets into like the wild card race in baseball, you're wishing you had one more game.
Yeah.
You know, you got a three-way tie for second place, and it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Baseball really gives you the opportunity for the best team to win, I think, because there's so many games, exactly, and you go through so much. Some guys are out for half the season because they hurt themselves, and then they come back, and they change the whole – you know, like, you can go the whole first half of the season being the worst team in the league, and then the second half of the season be the best team. It happened last year when the Nationals won the World Series. Like, they sucked the whole first half of the season.
They were the worst.
And then they came back, and then they won, and they were the best. Yeah. And it's just you know what it is, too? And I might love it more and more as I keep getting older because my life gets more and more hectic, that, like, it is a forced, just, like, brick wall where you just, like, you just sit and you just watch, and there's nothing else you can do.
Well, it's like you're talking about the VIP seat on the – or the first-class seat on the plane where you can sprawl out and work. You've never thought about getting a first-class baseball seat where you could sprawl out and work while the live game's going on.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Now, I like sitting here and working and listening to it on the radio. I like the radio announcers better than TV.
Yeah, me too.
Because they're so articulate, and they get bored too, and they just make up shit to talk about.
I love it.
Just like you do.
That's all sports talk.
I love it. And it's so funny too. If you get a good announcer or commentator or whatever, you don't even give a shit what's going on with the game because they're just telling stories about the sport or telling stories about guys doing crazy stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, this is the life. This is great.
Yeah. Or bringing up a stat. You know, it's like this day in 1956, so and so had 3 stolen bases to lead the league. And it's like, oh, cool. Now you got that stat. You're just like looking around to see if you can repeat it to anybody that cares.
Yes. Yeah. One of my favorite things to do if I'm not at a baseball game is going to the beach in the middle of the summer, turning on a baseball game, listening to the radio, and laying in the sand and just. Like, just closing my eyes and just, like, letting everything else melt away. It is, like, the greatest feeling in the world.
That's where I think, Amir, that it differs from something like hockey or basketball or football, is that you have to sit on the edge of your seat at a hockey game.
Yeah, I wouldn't listen to a hockey game on the beach.
There's the game away from the puck, you know, where two guys are kind of tensions building and you know they're going to fight at some point.
Yeah.
You know, you have to pay attention to so much that's going on all at once that whenever you're done, you're kind of exhausted.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that was a great game, but I'm tired, you know. Baseball, you're just ramping up the whole time.
Yeah.
You can show up to a baseball game an hour late and pretty much not miss anything. Or you get there 3 hours early and watch batting practice.
Yep. It's yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I will say one thing, though. Like, baseball looks like a fun game to play.
Oh, it is. It really is. It's a great – and, you know, like, as kids, too. So I played baseball. And I also played, because if we couldn't play, you need at least 16 guys or girl, whoever. You need 16 bodies at minimum to play like a real game of baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, you could try to like share people or whatever to really get it, but you need to cover that whole field.
Yeah.
So then we used to play stickball and we used to play wiffle ball and we used to all these things where you only needed like 2-on-2 or even sometimes you could just play 1-on-1 where it's just like someone's pitching and someone's batting. And you can just play, and it's still the same fun,
right?
You know,
the fundamentals. There, we played 500 until we had enough people to play a game. Did y'all play 500 where it's like 100 points if you catch? You just basically there's everybody's in the outfield, and you just hit to them, and the outfielders, it's like 100 points if you catch it in the air, like 250 on one hop, and like 50 points for a grounder, and they're just out there accumulating points. And as soon as somebody has 500, they're up to bat.
Oh, that's interesting.
And you swap out. We played that forever.
Did you ever hear a stoop ball?
Where I grew up, we just had cornfields. We didn't have stoops.
Yeah, I guess it's a New York thing, right? So stoop ball is, and this originates because there's no, you know, there's not really fields in New York. So basically what it is if you've seen like in the front of a building in New York, there's, you know, a tall building and there's a stoop. It's not like a porch. It's a stoop. It comes out. There's a landing. And then there could be anywhere from like 3 to 10 steps.
Right.
Yep.
All the way to the top. So where I grew up, I grew up just outside of the city. And my dad and I used to play stoop ball in front of our house. And what it was is you get like a blue bouncy handball or a tennis ball. And the person who's up to bat stands in front of the stoop and you throw the ball at the stoop. And when it hits the stoop, it bounces back, and the fielder is like the other is the defense, and you have to catch it. So the idea is to basically, when you throw the ball, you want to hit the corner of the step,
and pop it up,
and it pops up, and it can go over into like the home run territory. So if you don't, if you just have a ball, you can still essentially play baseball. It's just there's no bat, there's no field, you know, there's no pitching. It's just you just throw it against the stoop, and it's that counts as the hit. And nice. I grew up playing that with my dad all the time. It was like the greatest game ever.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, we played that. We played Hotbox too. And I don't really remember the rules of Hotbox, but it was basically like pickle. It was like you had baseman and you had a runner, and I don't know how the hell you scored or did anything, but I just remember if you had three, like, but that's the thing, is like no matter what combination of number of people you had, you could come up with a game oriented with baseball. You know, it's like, okay, we got this. I mean, and didn't even have to have a bat. You didn't have to have gloves. You didn't have to have a baseball. You could, like you said, use a handball.
Right.
There's another one we played, wall ball, and I don't remember the rules of it, but I knew at some point you could get beamed with the ball intentionally. I knew there was that.
We had a, I think it's probably the same game we played, except when we played it, it was called Suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's so funny to be like an 8-year-old, be like, yo, let's go play Suicide.
Yeah, I'm going to sling this ball, and I'm going to try to probably hit you in the face. There was no rib shots or aiming for the thigh. It was like, I'm going to aim right for your skull.
So this is with a hard baseball you played?
No, we would play Suicide with a handball.
Yeah,
like sort of like
we played with a tennis ball.
No. So what it was is like, so you would just have like the wall of a building, like the side of a building, and no matter how many kids that were there, you could play with 50 kids, 100 kids, or 3 kids. So basically, you throw the ball against the wall, and if you go to catch it or you drop it or something, you have to run to the wall and hit and touch the wall before someone throws the ball either at the wall or at you.
Oh, that
so
if you like get fun. Hit,
you're at. Yeah, dude, it was awesome.
It was great.
Next conference, let's play that.
There are so many strategies. There's so many strategies involved.
I haven't played it in about 30 years, but I bet it's just as fun.
That's the thing is you know, I don't know, football, basketball, they're great, but every household in America probably has a basketball hoop bolted to the garage.
Right.
And there's a lot of good memories from those too, but it just seems like baseball has like a nostalgic feel to it. We just talk about it in such a way, and we remember stuff from it in such a way. I mean, I remember just like the people that were around me at certain games, and I remember the different seats I've sat in, and and just so much about it. It just feels like you're at home when you go.
You know what else is fun about baseball too, and Amir touched on this too, because like when you're watching it as a kid, it has a lot of imagination to it. Like if you're playing basketball, if you're playing football, or hockey, whatever, I feel like every one of those fields of play have a very distinct dimension. It's just like here's one end and here's the other end. You go from one end to the other end, one end to the other end.
Mm-hmm.
With baseball, it's not like that. With baseball, every single field is different, and every single field has essentially its own rules. So wherever you're playing, you have to make up the rules for where you are. So on a professional level, it's like that too. Like if you hit the friggin' roof in Tampa when you're playing the Rays, it's like out of play, or it counts as a home run, or it counts as, you know, like you have to catch it when it bounces off the roof. Like that is an adult game still, you know? And when you're playing as a kid and you're trying to figure out how to make this work, so if you're playing stick ball or stoop ball or the wiffle ball or whatever, no matter, it depends on what type of area that you have. And you're like, okay, the home run is right here. Or if you hit this, that counts as that. Yeah, and you constantly have that kind of sense of imaginative kind of like rulemaking every time you play over and over. It's always something new and it's always something different. You can always kind of change the rules based on where you are or who you're with. And I think that's one of the fun things about it too, especially when you're a kid.
Yeah, and I like that stuff. You know, when you make it to the big leagues, you know, you can be the best prospect in the country. You know, you can hit 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, you can run faster than anybody, but whenever you get there, they hand you a wooden bat. You've been playing with an aluminum bat for your whole life, and they hand you a piece of lumber to swing, and it's just such a difference maker.
I love it. It's so funny, too, to think about professional athletes, too, right? And you're watching them, and you're watching your team, whatever, and there's somebody, he's not doing good or something. You're like, man, that guy sucks. Yeah. And it's just like, it's like, well, yeah, that guy sucks compared to maybe those other 10 or 15 people. But if he was anywhere near you and your friends playing, he would be running circles around you.
At any position, at all positions. Yeah. Everyone would be out pitching. Yeah, yeah.
Something that fascinated me with American sports is that, like, there's some sports in America you can become a superstar athlete in, and you don't even have to be in shape.
Yes.
And that's, that's pretty amazing.
It's pretty great. I mean, it's. I mean, baseball is famous for that, man. I mean, look at Babe Ruth. Like, he was just like a, you know, just like this fat dude who would just, like, be the greatest athlete that ever existed, you know?
Yeah, or Kenny Powers.
My favorite, my favorite athletes are people that if you saw them at the bar or something and they told you they were a pro athlete, you wouldn't believe them.
Exactly.
You'd have to prove it.
Yeah.
I mean, an NBA player, a guy comes in, he's 7 feet tall and tells you you're an NBA player. You're like, oh, yeah, probably.
I get that, yeah.
But some dude that's on the bar stool and he's like, I'm the closing pitcher for Detroit.
Yeah, right. Like,
I believe you. You look like it. Yeah, you look like you haven't slept in days.
That's true. That is really unique to baseball, too, because you think about all the sports, right? I mean, the only other sport I could think of that is maybe even close to that would be golf.
Yeah, or American football, too, because you – I don't know.
You'd be surprised how shaped those guys are.
Yeah, but some of those really, like, big, what do they call, linebackers? Or I'm not that good at all the titles.
Well, some of those dudes look big, but then they take their shirts off and they're sort of ripped. Like, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, you can't be the Shido bowling pin shaped fat gaming geek and just stop people. No, you're right.
That's the thing, too, is that that's why in baseball they used to have spring training, was because these guys were cut loose and they would kind of go back to work. They'd go sell insurance or whatever the hell they did. And then it's like, all right, guys, spring training, let's get into shape so we can play this baseball season. They weren't year-round athletes. They were just dudes, and then they went and did this sport. And that's why it was the pastime. You know, it was just because we weren't doing shit all the time, and they just needed a way to kill time and sell ads of whatever they were doing. Sell candy bars.
Yeah.
So, so going back to kind of the mixing the design stuff, so are there any teams that you, not to shut anybody out, but are there any teams that are just like on the absolutely not list that you won't work for?
No, I don't think so. No, I think, I mean, even if the Yankees asked me to do something, I would probably do it.
Yeah.
But they would be the team that I would probably say no to. Because, like, the very first professional team I ever worked for was the Red Sox.
Yeah. So that was your rival right there.
Yeah, and they were like, would you like to do this? And I was like, here's a funny thing, right? I did some kind of, like, poster design or some shit for, like, I forget, it was like a cigarette company. And it wasn't like an ad or something, but it was like, whatever. And I'm, in my head, I debated it for a little bit, and I was like, well, I do work for, like, alcohol companies too, and it's just like, if people want to kill themselves with shit, like, who am I to, like, why are cigarettes different than alcohol?
Isn't it? I was thinking about when you said that, because it's like a big, like, a lot of bucket list for people are like a nice cigar company or like whiskey. It's sort of like it's looked at as something to aspire to, like, to do, but a cigarette brand, people are like, ugh. Why would you do that? It's like designing war bonds or whatever. It's like, I don't know. It's just so frowned upon. But like, oh, a cigar that kills you really fast if you smoke them.
Yeah,
that's fine. That's true. Or something that you drink, it will make you crazy and beat people up and put you in jail.
Right.
That's totally fine. It's sort of like, it's sort of looked at like something to aspire to, but not cigarettes. No, fuck that.
Yeah, and it's so funny too, because, like, in my life, like, I know more people that have died from alcohol related injuries or disease or something than I know people who have died of lung cancer from cigarettes. Not saying that it doesn't cause it.
No, of course.
But, like, I'm just trying to say, like, alcohol is just as bad. Like, and
cigarettes can't make you hang your leg over the side of the balcony at Yankee Stadium and bang on the wall and potentially fall off. Maybe it's
unless you're really enjoying
it. Maybe if it's your first cigarette and you get that cigarette high.
And the funny thing, like, I don't drink or smoke or anything either. Like, I would never advocate for any of that for anybody, but, like, it's just like, if you're going to make your own choice, you make your own choice. But it's so funny that...
You don't do anything, not even a beer at a baseball game?
Nope.
Oh.
Nothing. No. That's, never have, never will.
That's why you...
Well, I mean, maybe, so good, maybe when
so
I'm like
well in shape.
80, I might.
Maybe not just the traveling around.
Yeah.
But it was funny that you said, because I was I was watching an interview with Rob Lowe, the actor, and I was like, he looks like he's 30, and he's like 56, and he hasn't had a drink in 30 years.
Oh, there you go. It makes a big. It does. It makes a difference. I think people don't realize it, but it does. And like, whatever. I'm not going to tell anybody how to live their life, but I, you know, for me, I think it works out pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel good. I don't ever wake up going like, oh, I'm never doing that again. Like, I've never had that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so I feel good about that.
Yeah, for sure. But have you done it before, or have you just never been into it?
No, never interested. And you know what? You when you're a teenager too, and like people start doing it.
Yeah.
I kind of never was into it. And then as I got a little bit older, and friends started getting into like hard drugs and shit like that, and you see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like, why do I want to do? Why would I want to be involved with any of this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, especially, so I just like.
I mean, especially right now, like this time in the past couple of years in our lives, like it's the worst that it's ever been since I've been alive, or that you know that I knew about. It's just so many people are just ruining their lives with different stuff like that.
And there's so many things too between like meth and bath salts and heroin and oxys and this and that, and it's like all these different ways that people are using to get high. I'm just happy I never got into it, because it just feels like that's a whole part of life that you have to struggle through to get past that I just don't have to do. I'm
like, you don't have to deal with that.
As little struggle as possible, you know?
Well, I'm jealous, because I wish I had that. I wish I didn't have that Friday feeling like, oh, fuck, I need a beer. The work week is over. Get me some fucking alcohol right now.
I was going to say that it's not, we're not really proud, but between the three of us, we still managed to drink enough for three people. I can promise you that.
Yeah, definitely. I have a friend of mine who's we drink every weekend. Like, we don't live in the same town anymore, but we talk all the time, and he wants to challenge me to do like a really long sober stretch. I'm just I just know I would fold too fast. But he did it last when he had a daughter. He was sober for like 6 months. Not like he struggled with it or anything. He was just decided, like, I'm not gonna drink, I'm just gonna focus on this little kid. And his skin just tightened up, and he just looked so good. I was like, what is happening? And that was like like an eye opener for me. Like, oh, like if you don't drink, your body's going to react super positive to that shit.
So it's like if you took a pickle out of the jar and then it turned back into a cucumber.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, that's a great analogy.
One of the things that was like one of the most proud moments of my life, and I've always been kind of an athletic person, but like I really started exercising a lot within the past like 6 or 7 years. And I remember my cousin was sitting down next to me, and I was breaking her chops about something, and she smacked me. And she like smacked me in the stomach. She was like, whoa. She's like, your stomach's really hard. And I was like, oh, is it? I was like, I don't know. And she was like, how? And I was like, I don't know. I don't drink, I guess. And she was like, oh, yeah.
That's it. Yeah, my stomach is hard too, but it's a lot of like between those abs.
It's like that balloon I was talking about.
Yeah. It's like that cushion between. I just need to get rid of that.
It could burst at any moment.
Yeah.
But what I was saying with the cigarette stuff was that I think I spent more time deciding whether or not I would do work for the Red Sox than I did doing work for whatever the cigarette company
was. For the Vice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I think the Red Sox have probably caused more cancer than cigarettes.
I think so.
Oh man, we're running on this is awesome. But we're running on an hour. This is like the fastest. We've had a lot of fun guests, but it's never gone this fucking fast. Like an hour just went by.
Blowing through it.
That's it, man. Yeah. I got plenty to say. I'll keep you guys busy all day.
That's right. I'd be a 10-part. Just start live streaming it. What are you, anything that you want to plug or you're working on that you want us to check out? You got a book.
I do have a book. A book came out at the end of 2018, Brand by Hand. You can get it at continobook.com. That was fun to do. Just like, it was so weird. It's like something I always wanted to do, but I didn't, you know, it's one of those things that you don't expect to hit you so soon.
I told Amir because I knew, you know, we were talking about you going to conferences and being kind of in and out. So your book came out and I was like, well, I'm going to see him at Creative South. I'll just grab his book then. And you were at Creative South. I mean, literally in and out, you know, I don't even think you had a hotel room. And then I saw you at Crop and it was the same thing. And I was like, damn, I'm not going to get this guy's book from him. And then I saw somebody post it, and they were flipping through it online, and it was like all these pictures. And for some reason, I was surprised. And I was like, wait, it's like a picture book. And I sent you a message, and I was like, I don't know why I didn't. I thought it'd be something else. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm a designer. It's going to be designing shit. Like, I was like, I don't know. I thought it'd be like stories or something. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah, but I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, oh, the John Contino novel. You know, it's like.
Wait, hold on. I'll show you for this audio podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect. Yeah, I was like, I don't know what in the hell I was thinking about.
Look, all right. So you open it up, right? And for people who can't see this at anywhere you're listening to, go to Brand by Hand and buy one.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not buying one. I'm just recording this right now as he flips through it.
So there's pictures, right? And yeah, then there's some words.
There you go.
There's some words, and then there's more pictures, and then there's some words. You know, stories. Yeah. And then there's some pictures, and then there's more stories.
There it is.
You know, so it's a lot of mix.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's definitely mostly pictures.
Okay. Well, I'll go buy it right now. So, will you get a notification when I buy it?
Yes, I will.
Oh, do you actually mail them out yourself?
Yeah, I do.
Oh hell, well, I want that one then.
Yeah, definitely.
I want the one you just showed me. Well, cool, man. This has been, yeah, we could do this for hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And if the Cubs ever get back to New York and play, we're going to go to that game.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm down. If Amir comes to the States, we'll take him to a baseball game.
That would be awesome. Well, yeah, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, guys. This is a fun way to start my Monday morning.
Are we always clapping now on the outro? I guess we are.
I can't remember. Yeah. We're not clapping.
Let's do the clap.
It's just
let's just do more disappointment
for me. No,
let's do this. You'll count us in on the intro. I'll count us out on the outro, and then we'll start checking which one is doing it better.
All right.
Close your eyes.
Okay. All right, my eyes are closed.
I need to move my microphone a little bit. There we go. Okay. One. Two, three, clap. That was by far the worst clap. Like, you could have just...
It was closer than any we've ever done.
Oh, yeah? All right, we'll see. You came in like 10 seconds after me. It's like you were sleeping when you closed your eyes. All right.
Agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree. Fair enough, like I usually say.
What do you think about our baseball now that it's been explained to you?
You guys didn't really explain it much, but I still know enough to understand what you were talking about, and I liked it. I'm not a huge sports fan, but it was, you know, because I think every designer has sort of like some sort of love for sports in a weird way because of sports design.
It's constant content generation too.
Yeah, and all the projects I've done that's been sports related has been fantastic. People who work with sports are great to work with, and so on and so forth. Like it's always great, but hockey's my jam. But I can appreciate any sport as long as it's fun to watch. That's my problem with baseball. It's a bit too slow for me.
Yeah.
But John is not too slow for me, so that's great. I really enjoyed talking to him. He was fantastic.
Oh, he was great. He was great.
I could listen to him talk about baseball all day.
And he said that he wanted to be back on. Yeah. So. Yeah, he said he wanted to come back on, so we'll definitely have him.
I think we could cover a lot of different topics with John.
Yeah. Yeah. Great dude. A lot of life experience. What else? What you got coming up?
What I got coming up? I got something really cool coming up actually. I think I'll just announce it now because it's going to be up when this episode comes out.
You're not gonna tease us for another week?
We'll just make it official.
Yeah.
So I'm launching a platform for designer resources, and I'm having you going to be on it and some other cats. I'm not going to tell you exactly who is going to be on it yet because I don't want to say like this guy's going to be there and do some stuff and this guy, and then maybe they flake out last minute. So, but it's going to be some really cool products coming from a lot of awesome dudes.
Like some Procreate brushes and some textures.
Some fonts. Yeah, like exactly.
So I have just finished the design of the just temporary like one pager to sign up for the newsletter, and it's going to be up while this comes out. So people, you can go to garmcompany.com, garmcompany.com, and sign up for the newsletter to get like notifications when we launch, and you get a little discount on your first purchase too. So that's what I got going on. That's what I've been working on pretty hard. Yeah, very cool. I think it's going to be fun. And yeah, GARM stands for Graphic Artist Resource Merchant. It's a long name. It's a long name. But GARM.
That's
GARM
cool. Works. That's cool.
So that's what I got going on. And I hope your brush is going to sell well, my friend.
Oh, I hope so too. I do a lot of things, but this portrait thing I've been doing for like coming up on a year now. That's wild. It's been a year. I've done so many of these portraits in Procreate that it's just, I don't know. Like I you never know what you find that's just going to hit. And these portraits, I'm constantly doing them. And so I'm going to sell a pack to, it's just what I use for those portraits.
That's going to be awesome.
And it'll be cool. It's got a pencil, a liner, the stippling. It's got all that stuff. So, and I'm going to make like a PDF type thing to explain how I do it too with my process.
Oh, I'm loving that.
Because it's not, because so many people will like, they trace a photo. And you just don't look like yourself when you trace a photo.
Not really, no.
Like it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work because you're not capturing the spirit of the person. You're just capturing like what the photo
has. You mean like when you trace over a photo?
Yeah. Like a lot of people do that. I don't do that.
But you can have reference photos and like.
No, you have reference for it. You have to know what a person looks like.
Yes, but you should have multiple. But, you like, can't like, do one photo and draw over. Yeah. It's not going to look like that person.
Right.
You have like a couple.
Well, what I do is like I try to figure out what features matter, because when you look at somebody's face, like there's parts that are like indicative to that person. Eyes? And some parts aren't. It's like you might draw Abraham Lincoln and have his ears completely wrong, but if you have his nose and mouth right, then it's like, oh, that's Abraham Lincoln.
So what I found is like, eyes, mouth, nose, like in that order, basically.
Right.
It's
just different with different people.
But that's the general rule I've sort of learned. Like, if you get that down, the mouth can really mess things up.
Yeah, any piece can. Yeah,
but if you get the eyes right and the nose right, like, it can look exactly like the person if you cut it off there, and you go for the mouth, and it's like, ugh, that doesn't. I just can't get it. Like, I don't know.
Horrible.
It's just one thing that you can't get right, and it's gonna mess the whole dynamic up.
I'm trying to think. Oh, so I am planning just the rest of my life now.
Yeah, because you got rid of your last kid. Well, not got rid of, but you got her out of the house.
Yeah. So I'm an empty nester now. So I guess I just got to start planning and figure out like go play pickleball or something that old people do. I don't know. I don't know what I'm gonna do. So I got to figure that out. But I've actually got a lot of stuff coming up. Like my studio is sort of, we're about to renew the lease on the studio, and we've got a new artist there, and we're moving some stuff around. So hopefully some exciting things on like the art and mural front coming, and you know, work is work. I'm doing a lot of fun stuff.
Sounds cool.
So,
branding. A lot of stuff. Branding going on.
Let's see. I got some branding. Restaurant stuff. I got some more packaging stuff. I got a poster thing I'm working on that'll come out. Kind of a big deal. So, yep.
Top secret.
A lot of cool things.
Poster?
It's just one of those things. It's just not at a point to talk about yet. It's not top secret. It's just not.
Gotcha.
You know.
I'll ask you in a week.
So I'm never those people. I always hate that when people are always coy. It's like you'll never see me post about, I got something big coming up, and then like that big thing coming up is nothing. So I tend to like to like after something's done, then I release it.
You know what? It would always bothered me a little bit. Like I don't care too much, but it's always bugged me when people post on Instagram or Dribbble or something like, this is from a top secret. Super secret giant project I'm working on. It's like a crop from it. Like, it can't be that top secret because if you signed an NDA, you can't show that even. Like if you've signed a proper NDA for a really top secret project and you're sharing that shit, you're gonna be fucking
right.
You can't do that.
No, you're. It's you're. And that's true. I worked for a company in Beaverton, Oregon, and I shared my a picture of me signing the NDA, and they're like, take it.
Yeah. Exactly.
So they have a check mark. They have a check mark for their logo, yeah, if you want to know the yeah company.
But that's the thing. Like, if when people are sharing, like, little crop shots of what they're working on, their super secret product, it's not that secret. And it's just,
no,
I don't
it's
know
not.
Like, I like we talked about with John, like, I just hate that shit in silence. I don't comment on it.
Which is a complete lie, because I was thinking about that. You're not like an internet troll, but you're like the troll that, like, the under the bridge.
Yes.
But you're on top of
the,
but you're
I'm on
the
bridge.
Bridge.
Smashing cards.
You're on the bridge. You're not under yeah the bridge. Like you look at the bridge, and it's like, oh, shit, Amir's already on the bridge. You don't pop out and be like, hey, answer these three questions. You're like, don't come on this bridge.
Exactly. But no, but when it comes to design-related shit, I don't really post anything negative. And also, as, like, I'm going to...
There's no point in it.
There's no point in it. And also, I don't think... I don't know. Maybe I mentioned this before. But, like, I also don't let anything negative stay up on my post. Like, I delete it immediately. Like, if someone gives, like, feedback on a post that's a finished product, I'm like, fuck off. And just delete it. Same thing with, like, anything negative, I just delete it immediately. There's no point of keeping it there or even answering to
yeah
it.
Yeah. Well, also, negative, like, a lot of commenting, and it's positive and negative, have just lost its weight.
Oh, completely.
You know, I mean, it's just even compliments have lost their weight.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you post something and it's, oh, badass, oh, badass, badass.
Fire emoji, fire emoji, fire emoji.
Fire emoji, badass.
I do that too, but I'm like, so I'm too lazy to write some.
I do it.
Yeah. Thing is, like,
but every now and then, maybe that's a challenge. Maybe go and write somebody a specific piece of feedback.
No, but I don't want a specific feedback on my work that I post that's finished work. I don't want the client to
not
see that.
Not feedback, but just encouragement.
Yeah,
I don't know
either. I don't
let people know you
the
saw
only
it
thing I like it when people comment on my shit, because it contributes to the, what do you call it? Like, the more people comment,
the algorithm.
The more people comment and like it, the higher up it moves into the algorithm, more people will see it. So fire away, as long as it's up.
And then you'll and then it'll make it a better design.
Exactly. Usually it makes it a lot better.
Right. Like, if I make a hamburger and it's a really good hamburger, it gets better if I have to split it with 50
yeah
people.
Usually it's yeah, because then you end up wanting more, right?
Right. Or if I have, like, a really nice sports car, it can go a lot faster if it's dragging 100 people behind
yes
it instead of
five
just
people
me
in the back seat.
Yep. Yeah, it's always better if it's a clown
yes
car.
Trunk full of candy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations on a successful episode.
Yes. Congratulations. Thank you. To you as well.
I appreciate your patience as we talked to John about baseball the whole
I
time.
I loved every second of it. I really did.
This makes up for that time you talked to me about Midsummer for an entire hour.
You think so?
Yeah, it makes up for
I'm
that
not
time.
Sure. It might.
We're even now.
So I'm thinking, like, now that we're getting better at scheduling, should we start announcing the next week's guest? And if that person doesn't show up, we'll just cut it out? No?
Nope. No, we'll just always say we have a secret. You're going to love our next guest. And it's going to come out the next time this comes
yeah
out.
So I think next week's going to be...
Yeah, leave yourself
I'm going to leave it open. I'm just going to tell you that the next week...
Next week's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be great, too.
Mind blown.
All right. Thank you so much, Jason, for coming
cool
on our podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Amir. Amini, for being here again, showing up. For showing up and doing the work.
Word. You got to do the work, man.
That's right. Every day. Be brave.
All right.
We can't do it together.
We'll just edit it in post.
Oh,
it's
my God.
Fine.
Just make it. Hey, just start pushing your chair away. It'll sound like a slow fade.
Yes. And we'll just keep talking.
Yeah. See you next week. Bye.
Thanks, bro.